What's up? This is Matt from Live from the Middle Urinal, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Recap. Recap time.
Yeah.
All right. We have a great episode, as always, available. Blah, blah, blah. Let's try that again. All right. We have a great episode for you
fuck,
today.
Fuck, fuckity, fuck.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. All right.
Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck.
I'm glad you keep that.
Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck.
So we have a great episode.
Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck.
Stop. We gotta do this. I gotta get my a good night's rest so I can go see Jim Gaffigan. Well, it's only 9:30. I'm not gonna go to bed right now. Okay.
Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck.
So we have a great episode for you today. We're gonna talk about the beers we drink. We got a voicemail from some
fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 28 for Monday, July 24th, 2017.
All right, we have a great episode for you today. We're going to talk about, as always, the beers we're drinking. We got a voicemail from somebody other than Scary Caller or Elderly Listener.
We'll talk about how the smartphone has changed our lives over the last 10 years. And, of course, a crazy news story.
All right. What are we talking about here?
Another week's gone by.
Another week, another 7 days. I don't know. I don't know what I was going for on that one.
That's all right. I think it's been a long week, and I've got a vacation coming up, so I'm excited.
That's right. That's right. And people are probably wondering, you know, do the Bobs ever take a break? And our answer is going to be yes. Yes. This coming week. So this week, obviously, we have a show, and you're listening to it right now. However, next week we're going to do a best of. So if you've just recently started listening to the podcast, or maybe you're like me, where you don't feel like going all the way back and starting over. If you want to binge listen to us, that's perfectly great. But if you just want to kind of get up to this point, some of our best material, it'll be a good week to do that next week.
Yeah, they're kind of fun. I've had a lot of people that have gotten started in the show, and they've always asked me, you know, do I have to start at the first one? And there's some things there, like Elderly Listener and how we get the phone number message and that sort of thing. So a lot of times I'll just tell them, just go ahead and start with the best of. You at least get the best parts of 1 through 10. Or 1 through 9 at that point, and you want to listen to there. If you want to start from the beginning, go ahead. But the best of is a nice way to get people introduced to the show that are maybe coming late and not really sure that they want to go all the way back through what right now is 27 episodes. So we're excited. We'll put it together, and it'll be out at the usual time following Monday morning, 7:31.
Yep, and then in August, too, we'll figure something out because I'm going to be on vacation as well. I love you guys. I love doing the podcast, but I'm going to be at the beach, so... Screw you guys. I'm going to the beach.
Well, it's funny, and going through back a lot of the back episodes and seeing, even just putting together a list of things to do for that, it's funny how long ago a lot of these things were. And I go back and look, and even just the jelly beans was one of them that we did. And that was so long ago that, you know, we've come so far in what I felt was a short amount of time, but really it's been longer than it actually feels like.
When you do a podcast every week, I think it just, like, you know, I was thinking about it. We're 28 episodes in. So we've done this 28, well, technically 27, because we had 1 week that we were, although we didn't count the 1 week that we did the best of as a number.
Yeah. So technically, this is the 29th if you count the best of. So,
yeah. And the lost episode that we don't like to talk about.
Oh, that's where the best of got pushed in there. So, and that, again, that one didn't have a number. So technically, this is the 29th if you count the best of. So, yeah, we've been at it, and we've had that 1 week that we didn't put out anything new. So it's time for a little bit of a break.
Trucking along.
Yes, sir. So I'm thirsty. You know, like I said, again, coming up here on Friday, which is tomorrow, even though, again, this will come out on Monday, I've been craving beer for a little while now because I've been holding off ready for tonight.
I am parched.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
There we go. Took long enough. You're on your B game tonight.
I got a lot of buttons. All right, what do you got over there?
What I have. So last week, if you remember, I talked about how I went to Frankenmuth and got a couple of different kind of dessert-y type of beers. So I drank Last week I had the Mackinac Island chocolate fudge stout. Today I have a Neapolitan milk stout by Saugatuck Brewing Company. And I had another Saugatuck beer, I don't know, a dozen or so episodes ago that I really liked. And this one, I got to tell you, it smelled good when I poured it. I felt like I was pouring cake batter or something into a glass. So I'm going to try it right now. And then I'll read all about it for you. Oh, that's good.
Is it?
That's real good. I mean, you can taste the, it tastes like Neapolitan ice cream. Like if you were to get all three flavors at once,
huh?
Shove them into a beer and drink it. That's kind of what it tastes like. So really good. It's just like last week. It's one of those that I wouldn't get a six pack, and I don't even think they offer it in a six pack, to be honest with you. But even if they did, I wouldn't buy a bunch and drink a bunch and go to a party with this. But to have one after, especially after a meal or anything like that, or if I'm just looking for just kind of something sweet, this is a really good beer. The website says, a perfect blend of classic dry stout character with brilliant flavors of Neapolitan ice cream. Experience the nostalgic flavors of chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry all in one glass, because sometimes ice cream just isn't enough. This is 6% alcohol by volume, 37 IBUs. So just a little titty, little titty bit of hops in there. Yeah, it'll work. Whatever, you know. The kids are sleeping. Malt says 2-row carap pills. You know, I'm not going to talk about the malts. Fuck that. Pairings rich in spicy foods, barbecue, grilled meat, cheese, buttery. What? Oh god, damn
fuck,
it!
Fuck.
I hate when they can't even speak proper English on the website. So this is 6% alcohol by volume, 37 IBUs. It's best served 50 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit in a pint glass. Food pairings, rich in spicy foods like barbecue, grilled meat, or cheeses, like buttery cheeses like brie, gouda, or Swiss. It's very malty, and it's won a bunch of awards, and it's good beer. Highly recommended.
Well, I was curious to see if they were going to be able to get all those flavors in there, because, you know, the Neapolitan, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. So I think as a beer, you probably can. I just wasn't quite sure they'd be able to pull it off altogether, but you're saying that they did?
I think it's a really good beer. In fact, I mean, looking at some of the awards that they've won, National Grand Championship for Stout at the U.S. Beer Tasting Championship, Silver for Spice, Herb, or Veg Beers, and World Expo of Beer. So, I mean, it's done well from a competitive standpoint. It's a good beer.
That sounds good.
I like Saugatuck stuff. I have another Saugatuck that I'm going to bust out here in the next couple weeks, too.
No problem. Well, I've got a Michigan beer as well, and as you pointed out, this is one that you've had, and I'm probably remembering it, but that's going back far, too. That was actually episode 7 that you had that. But I've got the Bell's Kalamazoo Stout, which is from Comstock, Michigan, and I'm a big fan of the Bell's Two Hearted Ale, which if you listened to episode within the last week, you probably heard me say that then, too. But this one's good, too, and again, you know I'm not really much of a dark beer fan, although I've been finding a lot of good ones that I think I'm going to be trying again, but this one's,
Well, I was about to say, actually, you've been drinking a lot of the darker beers lately. I'm surprised.
I've been giving them, you know, I think it's just basically on your reviews where you've said there, who doesn't like chocolate, and I like vanilla, and I like coffee. So if I find the right ones, I think they tend to have those flavors in there, so they're worth a shot. And again, I can buy one or two bottles at a time, so it's not like I've got to invest in a full six pack. So being able to build your own is allowing me to branch out a little bit, and I've been able to find ones that I've liked enough to buy again. So again, this one is the Kalamazoo Stout by Bell's Brewing Company in Comstock, Michigan. And this one says it's named after the city where it all began. Kalamazoo Stout is one of our most classic recipes. The smooth, full-bodied stout offers a blend of aromas and flavors of dark chocolate and fresh roasted coffee, balanced with a significant hop presence. And alcohol by volume, like yours, is 6%. And it does not give any IBUs, but it says a significant hop presence. I don't really taste a whole lot of that. There is some of it in there, but I definitely do taste the chocolate in the coffee. And I originally saw something on the, I think it was on the label, and maybe it was on a different one, but I could have sworn it said, yeah, stout brewed with brewer's licorice. And I was worried, I almost drank this one last week, but I was worried it was going to have a black licorice taste to it. But reading the description on the website said nothing about black licorice. So I figured I was in the clear, and I am.
Yeah, and I really like this when I drink it too. In fact, I've had a couple since then. Like you, I like a lot of Bell's stuff. I mean, even on a summer day, you know, being outside, I always keep a couple Oberons in the fridge. Yep. During the summer too. That's a nice beer just to kind of, you know, if you're looking for something just to drink direct from the can and have with some friends, Oberon, I think, is a really good one too. But I really did like this, and I think the darker beers tend to balance out the hops more than lighter beers. Like, I feel like you don't taste the IBUs like you would if this were like an IPA or something like that, even with, if it had the same number of IBUs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've had that where I've had some that were 30, and then I've had others, I think it was either 30 or 50 in one of the dark ones, and then I had an IPA that had, let's say, 30, while the dark one was 50, and it definitely had more of a punch in it, and it might be just how they do it. But the heavier ones. But and actually looking at the Bell's website, it says that Bell's Two Hearted is ranked the number one beer in America. So number five is their Hop Slam. And their number one brewery in America, according to the home, says, thank you to the homebrew community, our fans, partners, and our employees for making this possible. We're truly honored and raise a pint to all of you. So Bell's Two Hearted is, it's right up there really for me. I have another one that's probably going to be pretty close to it after I finish this, and I've had it in the past, but I bought another six pack of it because it was so good, but that'll come up a little bit later.
I have another one waiting here too. It's a repeat, but you know, I bought a six pack of it, so I'm going to drink the damn things.
No worries. Well, we are available on Untappd, and I know I've already logged mine, but Untappd is a social network for beer. So anybody that enjoys beer, if you want to keep track of the beers that you've had or find ones that are new to try and see what the community at large rates them, Untappd is the perfect way to do that. That's UNTAPPD. And if you go on there, you can search both of us out. I am at RobertK328, and you are?
I'm at PhilRoberts33. Okay. And I do like Untappd because, you know, like you said, it's a good place to discover new beer. So if there's something that you, maybe you've heard about it and you're just looking for where it is, or even if you're going to a particular venue and you just want to know what type of beers they have, or if you like a particular brewery, just to kind of see what the community thinks about some of their other brews or some of their other beers that they offer, it's a good place to do it.
Yeah, and being able to find, again, where, like you said, I think where you can find them locally. So if you hear about one on the show and you want to find us, find to see if it's available near you, you can do that. And then you also get cool little badges. And when I logged into mine, I've got the New Brew Thursday and the Middle of the Road badge. New Brew Thursday says that I've had a new beer on three Thursdays in the 30-day period. So recording on Thursdays, that's
easily,
easily possible. And Middle of the Road, looking for more kick than a session beer, but you want to be able to stay for a few rounds. You have to keep it in the middle. That's five beers with an ABV between 5.1 and 9.9. So if you get fun little badges to show, I like it.
And it makes it competitive too. And you know, I like that. So
take all the badges.
Although like we discussed, I know you tend to, cause I get the pop-ups all the time. You tend to record every beer you're drinking where I just recorded the first time I drink a particular type of beer. So
yeah, I miss them every now and then where I'll, you know, like sometimes the second one that I have in the show, if it's not new, I forget to, I forget to record it in the app. Unless sometimes I want to do it the next day. Then by then I figure, you know what, I'm not going to record it on the wrong day. And I'm weird like that.
But no, I was going to say, you know, I don't know what would bother you more, recording on the wrong day or just not recording whatsoever. And you just answered that. So thank you.
the wrong day for sure. I'm a quirky bastard. Well, speaking of quirky bastards, we're missing our friend. We're missing our friend Scary Caller, but as luck would have it, we did get another voicemail from somebody else. So I'm gonna play
the Scary Caller. I mean, he, in his defense, he did last week when he left us the voice message tell us he was going away for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was going into solitary or, you know, fireworks season's over, so he might be taking a vacation.
You know, like us, he's taking his best of. We'll get him off the hook as long as he comes back. We did get a voicemail from another podcast group, and there's Ember and Angel of the Color Me Dead podcast, and here's their message.
Take two. I'm trying to call you guys. This is the Color Me Dead Glory Gals, Angel and Ember. What's up, guys? We just wanted to let you know that we just subscribed to your guys's wonderful podcast, and we've been binging pretty much all evening. And we were just curious your take of the H.H. Holmes being Jack the Ripper. If you think that they are the same person or not, we don't know how much true crime you guys really get into, but hey, that's a question that we're asking everybody. Anyways, keep up the great work. I love that you guys drink beer all the time. Jealous. We should start doing that. But I do it with vodka, so I'm good. I'm good. All right. Anyways, just wanted to hurry and give you guys a quick shout out, say that we love you guys' show, and can't wait to hear more. The Glory Gals of Color Me Dead. Thanks so much. Bye.
Now, thanks, Angel and Ember. Now, first off, I can't help but think of the 80s boy band Color Me Bad the entire time that they're talking.
Yes.
But also, I would like to say that we drink beer all the time on the podcast, but not all the time in life.
No.
We have jobs.
Jobs.
If my job were to drink beer and make the money that I do just by doing that, I might think about it. But
yeah,
that's not the case.
No brainer. I did go through and listen to their show because I hadn't heard of it. And there's a lot of, I think I told you that the true crime genre or the niche of podcasts is huge. And everything that I read in the podcast communities is true crime, true crime, true crime. So I went through and I listened to one of the episodes, and I needed to finish the next one. But there's some cool stuff in there, and there's definitely interest. And Jack the Ripper has always held kind of one of the interested parts of my brain. I don't know much about him. I just know he was a bad dude. And I did read a little bit about this other guy, the H.H. Holmes. So I don't really have an opinion on it, but I think it's an interesting thing, and I'll have to find some more shows or do some more reading and see what my thoughts are. But unfortunately, I don't have anything at this point.
I think that Donald Trump is Jack the Ripper.
Probably.
He's conspiring with the Russians to erase that from the internet, though.
I know when I mentioned it to you, you are not really a true crime guy, but do you have any interest at all in that sort of thing? You know, the serial killers or any of those, I mean, Ted Bundy and that sort of thing. Is that of any interest to you besides a movie?
I mean, it is. You know, in another lifetime, I was actually a criminal justice major. And so I did take a couple classes, actually, that kind of centered around, you know, those more psychiatric cases, like the serial killers, for instance. And I did a report on Ted Bundy once, and, you know, it was very interested in it. So I'm interested in it. I guess, to be honest with you, I just haven't gotten into it in the form of a podcast. And I have so many other things that I have to focus on.
Oh, yeah.
On a day-to-day basis. It's just like, true crime just hasn't been on my docket lately, and it doesn't mean it won't be. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I thought it's interesting. I just need to spend more time on it. So now I know the show to start with. So thank you to Ember and Angel.
I mean, I've had to watch the Game of Thrones season premiere like three times just to make sure I caught everything. So
you missed the opportunity to do that in the Napoleon Dynamite voice, but we'll let that slide. If anybody would like to leave us a message, we do have a phone number.
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
We sure do. That's 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627. That's ingrained in my memory now. I remember the first time you caught me off guard with that. And
yeah, I made you read it. I was like, well, what is that?
No clue.
Now, and you can text that as well. So if you don't feel like having your voice read on the air, but you want to provide us some feedback or follow up on anything that we cover in the show, feel free to text that number as well.
Or even if you just want to be a smart ass and text us random shit, that's cool too.
Yeah, no worries.
We don't have a whole lot of limits here. So, I mean, you know, go ahead and text away.
Yep, have at it. One other thing we touched on a little bit last week, we didn't go through it to it a whole lot, but we do have some t-shirts and mugs available. And those are available at thetwobobs.com/swag, S-W-A-G. And we've gotten a couple more orders. Looks like a few mugs went out the door today, too.
And by the way, you know, we mentioned it before. We're not trying to make money off of it. We don't have any markup on it. So what you're paying is literally what Teespring charges for those t-shirts. You know, we're not making anything, but it's kind of a cool thing and a way to kind of spread the word. So we appreciate that. Speaking of t-shirts, have you seen this article on Huffington Post about KFC releasing their own line of merchandise?
I did, and I love it. I mean, I'm just looking through some of the things that they have to offer, and they're pretty funny, but I don't know that I'd wear any of it. So looking at the offerings so far, what would you choose? I take that back. I think there is one thing that I would, well, no, there are a couple that I would wear. Would I actually spend money on it? I'm not sure, but if it was a gift, I think I would wear it.
I love the pillowcase. So, you know, just to give you an idea of what's out there. So there's fried chicken socks, which are red socks with like drumsticks like all scattered about them, with bites missing out of some of them, like they're, you know, like fried chicken legs. There's a yellow sweatshirt that says Fried Chicken USA on it. This one's interesting. It's a necklace that says Finger Licking Good. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you can get Colonel Sanders bow tie, you know, a bunch of weird. You can get a pillowcase. This is my favorite thing. It's a pillowcase with Colonel Sanders, like, laying on one side of the pillowcase. So you can lay on the other side facing him and look like you're, you know, staring at each other.
I like the Fried Chicken USA sweatshirt. The other one that's kind of funny is the full meal t-shirt. It says chicken, potatoes, biscuit, and cookie. The little pins are cool. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this is kind of funny.
I mean, if I had to buy one of these things.
Yeah, pick one.
So if KFC wrote us and said, hey, Bob's, we want to provide you each a piece of merchandise from our website, probably the full meal one. It's funny because it's a black t-shirt with just white block lettering that says chicken, potatoes, biscuits, and cookie, period. It's kind of funny. It's a conversation starter, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the one I think I like the most is the Fried Chicken USA sweatshirt. It's just, again, it's a no-frills font. It's just black lettering on a yellow sweatshirt. It looks like it might be embroidered, and it's $76, so it should be a nice quality. But these are available, evidently. They're limited, and last I saw that they were sold out, but I'm sure they'll be adding more. But they're available at kfclimited.com. And after we trashed KFC last week because we thought Popeyes was better, I figured we'll give back a little bit this week.
I was on my way back from the dentist today and passed right by Popeyes, and I was like, oh, that looks so good. But it's a new location, though. So there was like a line. It was lunchtime, new location. There was a line around the building. I wasn't about to wait in it, though.
I think one thing that we haven't touched on in a while is tech. And that's like one of the things I think that we thought at the beginning we'd do a lot more of. So let's go ahead and touch on it this week.
For sure. I mean, you know, at our cores, Robert and I are both nerds. And so, I mean, we met in a nerd community all about tech and Apple stuff. So, I mean, you know, we have it ingrained in our DNA. So we got to talk about it just a little bit today. So what did you have in mind?
And a lot of these things too. And I know we're more Apple and iPhone specific, but these things are also in the Android, and I don't know who else makes them, but you know,
make phones.
You wouldn't think so by looking in this house, but you know, these are really more smartphone things that are there. I think one of the things that has really kind of been on the front of my mind a lot is, one, it's the 10th anniversary this year of the iPhone, which I think was back in June when it actually came out. So 10 years ago, 2007, when it came out. So thinking about that a little bit and thinking about, you know, this beta, the 11 that I've got on my phone, that's driving me batshit crazy, but thinking about the next phone. So I'm just wondering, you know, how much the iPhone has changed our lives. And when you think about it, it's over those 10 years, lives really have been forever changed. I guess as long as these phones have been out, there's so much that's different these days than it was back then in 2007.
I mean, 2007, I think I was still writing checks and sending them in the mail to pay bills.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just look from that perspective. I mean, I don't remember the last time I used anything other than my cell phone to pay a bill.
Yeah.
I hop on, my banking app is right there. I hop on, all my bills are right there. I pay them that way. But I mean, you know, it even more so, it's just, I think the biggest thing for me, it's really changed the way that people interact with each other and with the world around them.
Sure.
You know, that's really the biggest thing that I've seen is just, I mean, you go around anywhere, and sometimes I criticize people, especially when there's like families going out to dinner and they're right. All sitting at the table on their phones, like that I don't like, but I mean, aside from that, I mean, you go out and people always, they have their phones on them, and it's changed the way for me. It's changed the way I even like capture memories of my kids, and my family. So those moments, I mean, the first pictures that I ever took Colin, I wasn't into iPhones quite yet when he was born. I wasn't into iPhones quite yet when he was born. But the first pictures I ever took of Harrison, literally, he was a newborn on the warming table in the room, and I was so fortunate to be able to capture those moments because I had my iPhone sitting right in my pocket, and I was able to take those pictures. And within minutes, I was able to show the world my new son, who we had just welcomed into the world so easily. I mean, it's just, there's been a lot of impactful ways, I'd say, that technology has changed, you know, who we are and how we communicate.
Well, you said that it's how we communicate with people, and it's changed how we do and also how we don't, because just like you said, sitting around at a dinner table, and yeah, there's usually the typical family is the mom, the dad, the son and the daughter. And really, even at young ages, the little kids are looking for phones or their tablets or something to have there. And it's not that uncommon these days to look and see a table of four people sitting there and nobody's looking at each other. Nobody's talking to each other. So, yeah. You know, we're not perfect at it, but we do try to make it an effort. And I know I specifically do because I spend so much time either texting you or you know, looking at stuff here for the podcast and things for work and just making, you know what, I need a break from it. Just like we're having a break from the show next week. You need a break to be able to put that away and focus on the people that are right there. And it really is hard, you know, but you really have to force yourself to do it. And then when you do, you kind of twitch for a little bit, like, you know, I got to have my phone out. I got to have my phone out. And, you know, I think youngers, you know, having a teenager, you know, it's really hard for her to kind of put it away. But I think when she does, she feels good about it.
You know, for Kelly and I, we try to make a conscious effort, especially when the kids, to always put the kids first. And, you know, usually we're pretty good at it. Every once in a while, we have to remind each other, you know, Kelly's line that she uses is be present. So, you know, the kids will be in the room and they're, you know, communicating. And again, I try to be mindful of what they're saying because I feel that they should always feel like they are a higher priority than whatever I'm doing on my phone. But sometimes I get caught up in it and I'll hear Kelly say, okay, babe, be present. You know, and that means like stop fucking around in your phone and pay attention to your kids.
Tell Robert bye.
Yeah, so I mean, we do try to control that. We try to control how much time the kids spend in front of the screens. But you know, speaking of screens too, I mean, it's how we entertain ourselves. We have Apple TVs and we have two TVs in the house. Why? Because we don't really need more than that. But we have two TVs. Both are attached to Apple TVs. And that's the way that we entertain. When I'm in my car, I have Sirius in my car, but more often than not, I'm streaming something through Apple Music or listening to a podcast. Quite multiple times a week, I'm using Apple Maps or Google Maps to get from point A to point B as efficiently as possible, because I'm, you know, going to a meeting, a client, something like that, and I need to know how to get there, especially with all the fucking construction in the area. So, it's just amazing what they've done for our lives. But I think, you know, like you said, like we both said, I think the biggest thing is making sure that it doesn't control our lives and it's not the center of our lives, but rather something that enhances our lives to make things more convenient and easier for us.
Sure. Yeah. To give us more time for those that are there with us in the day to day by being able to do things quickly. And the one thing you said about Harrison when he was born, I worked for Ritz Camera for a long time in the stores and in their advertising. And one of our slogans was carry a camera, capture a memory. And that's really, you've got it in your pocket the whole time. And even one of the camera apps that I can't remember what the name of it was. I think it was called Best Cam or Best Camera or something similar to that. And their slogan was the best camera, you know, because people always say, you know, having a photography background, people say, oh, your camera's better than this, or is your camera better than that one? And the answer in his case was, you know, the best camera is the one that you have with you. And being able to, especially now with the cameras that are in these phones today, the quality is so good and you have it with you all the time. Yeah. So you can record those. And even Melissa said, we have so many photos that we used to do on the camera and then put them in the computer, but now everything is on the phone and you can sync them back and forth with the photo library. So you take more and you capture more that way because it is a lot more convenient.
No, absolutely. I mean, I have probably a $500-$600 Nikon DSLR sitting in a closet. I don't even know where it is. I think it's in a closet upstairs somewhere. I don't remember the last time I used it. And it does take beautiful photos. But the thing is, to get that photo, first off, I have to get it out. I have to
charge it
because the lithium batteries for sure are dead. So there's nothing I can use to actually take it. I got to make sure there's a memory card in there. Especially if it's low light, I have to attach a separate lens so I can get good lighting, in the room or, you know, reflect it off the ceiling or whatever it might be. And even then I gotta mess with the aperture. I gotta mess with the exposure. I gotta do all these other things, to make sure that this photo turns out just the way I want it. Or I can just pull my cell phone out of my pocket. My iPhone 7, which takes beautiful pictures, even in low light, takes beautiful pictures now. And just pull that out and then push a button and it does everything else for me. I mean, that's been the biggest thing for me is our memories. Having them and having easy access to them, having a really easy way to share them without having to go through all the rigmarole and then transfer it to a computer to upload into a cloud service so I don't lose it, to being able to share it and things like that. I mean, it makes a world of difference.
And the other part that I think about a lot too is I don't know whether industry or economy or just overall, all those things have really taken a boost. I mean, think of jobs that were there. I mean, initially I got the first iPhone when it came out. It was 2007. We were heading up to New York and I got it right before we went and there was nothing on it. I mean, it had the maps, it had Safari, it was on the Edge network, so it was fairly slow. You got email and texting, but it didn't really have much else. And then not really until the App Store came out that the capabilities of the phone expanded. But you think about all that's come from that is you have the App Store, you have app developers that are making money. There are large companies that make money, really. I mean, can you think of, you know, one Uber, you know, being able to call up a car to drive you somewhere? Their only existence is because of a smartphone. Twitter and Facebook, where sure, you can do it from your desktop, but it's a lot easier to do it from your phone when you're standing in line and taking a picture of your burrito at Chipotle. You know, all those businesses that are there because of the smartphone, particularly starting with the iPhone, it's unbelievable how much money. I mean, look at Mark Zuckerberg, how much money he's got.
And it's safe to say that these social networking services, especially the ones that are very photo focused, like your Instagrams and your Snapchats, I mean, they wouldn't even exist today if it wasn't for the, you know, the cameras that are on our phones. And, you know, just as much, I think Facebook and Twitter, even if they did exist, they certainly wouldn't exist in the popularity that they are today because, you know, again, especially Twitter is kind of like right at that moment. What am I thinking? Yeah. What do I want to say to the world? And boom, it's there. Well, if I got to find a computer and then log in and then do all these other things before I can get to that point of sharing something, the chances of me actually doing that are very slim to none.
Sure.
It's social networking is what it is today because of things like the iPhones and other smartphones that have the capabilities to just to be able to jump in there and do it and share what you want to share and then be done.
Sure. Now I would never go back to a regular phone, and I'm very curious to see how the phones continue to evolve over the next 10 years and just see where we are from there. Is it going to be the same as what we have, only enhanced each year, or is it going to be something completely different? And I'm pretty excited for it.
I'm excited about even just this year. I mean, Apple's releasing, you know, what more than likely they're releasing what a lot of people are calling the iPhone 8, and what a lot of people are saying is the first major refresh of the iPhone since really the iPhone 6. when they made a design change and they introduced the larger size displays. So, I mean, if half the rumors hold true, that what's out there as far as the OLED display and you know, some of the other things and enhancements, what they're doing with augmented reality and AR is just phenomenal. I mean, that's another thing. Apple is really, really passionate about augmented reality. And I mean, AR kit, which they made available to developers just to be able to develop. I mean, they've given them all the tools. It's like you already know how to build a house, but you don't have any tools. And somebody just gives you every possible piece of material you would need to do it and just says, okay, now go build a house. You know, they've done that with augmented reality. And whether you're a nerd and you even understand really what that is or not, one thing I can tell you I'm very sure about is that how we use our phones and how we interact just in real time with the world, whether it be gaming, social networking, things like that, is going to change. And I think it's going to, it's not just about games and just being able to, you know, put some creature on the screen and fling a ball at it. Like, you know, it's not all about Pokemon Go. I think it's about using our phones to be more helpful in our environments around us. I was listening to another tech podcast. I think it was Mac Break Weekly, where they were talking about I'm sorry. It was might have been Cult Cast, but it was one of those where they were talking about augmented reality and AR kit and some of the things that they've had the opportunity to see that are in the pipeline for some of these developers. And I mean, just the ability to point your phone at a wall, at a reference point on the wall, and move your phone across the wall, and it gives you with a millimeter accuracy the measurement of that wall. Or to be able to take your furniture shopping, to be able to take this couch and put it in your room and understand if it's going to fit in the room and things like that. I mean, just some of the real life, like really useful stuff, I think is in the pipeline with just what Apple's doing on that end, which I'm pretty excited about.
So gone are the days of having to lay out newspaper and think that, you know, if this sectional is going to fit in your room, you'll be able to just basically hold your phone up to it with the information from the furniture store and say, yep, that's going to fit. And I guess probably even be able to move it around to say, yeah, it would fit here and there's enough room to get around. And particularly if you've got a smaller space or even a larger space, is it going to look too small? Is it going to look too big? So being able to do that without having to physically measure or put boxes or paper down and being able to do that, it's going to be pretty cool.
Even shopping, I think Amazon is going to take, I feel like Amazon's a company that's going to take huge advantage of this too. Just, I mean, being able to see what clothes look like on you without having to order them, or sunglasses, or, and not just like a cheap way where you just like drag a PNG file on top of your face that looks right, like the glasses, but to really see what your face is going to look like with these glasses on, and stuff like that. I think it's going to change commerce quite a bit.
Well, they're kind of already doing that with the new Echo. I think the Echo Show it's the Echo Show. They've got a couple new ones that have come out that I think they're doing that already, where you can basically try on different things and the little camera is pointing at you and then it shows you what it's going to look like, and then you can decide, yeah, go ahead and buy it and have it sent to you. So it'll be an exciting time, I think, really, even over the next few years to see where it all goes. So 10 years down the road, we might even have to wait that long. If you have any other ways that the smartphone has changed your life or impact that you've seen in your life or your friends' lives, reach out to us and let us know.
I'll be able to see what my pizza is going to look like on my plate without having to order it first.
Well, that would be good. You know, that's one other thing too, is using the phones to be able to order food and without even calling. So Krispy Kreme has an app that you can look to see, you know, if the local Krispy Kreme has hot donuts. Domino's has an app where you can use to actually order your pizza and kind of build it the way you want without having to explain, particularly people that want half of this and half of that and extra this, extra that. They want to be able to do that. And I know a lot of times I like to order things online just because it's easier for me to do it. And part of that is being a control freak, but the other part is just being able to see that I've got it right and not so much trusting somebody else to do it.
No, and I the exact same way. I mean, even Taco Bell. I mean, yeah. You can go through the drive-thru. I use the Taco Bell app to actually put my order in. So at least I know when I get there, they have the correct order.
Yeah.
It's up to the, you know, it's up to the people that work there to actually take that correct order and put it into the fucking bag and give it to me. But at least I feel like I have more control of it because I'm the one actually pushing the buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to pay, you know, you kind of have to pay attention. And I got this article I sent you earlier this week that was pretty funny. It was from just a couple of days ago. I'm trying to see if it says where it is. Oh, Troy, Ohio. So the FIFO's in there. That probably explains some of it. But this mom just decided to order a pizza from Domino's, and she went through and she put the, you know, I guess they only have the one crust, but she picked toppings on there. So that she wanted a pepperoni pizza, and that's pretty much what she got. But what she forgot to do was specify the sauce and the cheese. So usually it gives you, if I remember correctly, it's been a little while since I've used it, you say, you know, a little sauce, no sauce, extra sauce, and the same thing with the cheese. Do you want the normal amount or a little bit less? Well, she completely forgot those. So this kid, BJ Stead, which is on Twitter, he posted a picture of the pizza, which was...
it's god awful looking.
Yeah, cooked dough with pepperoni on it.
I'd rather... The only thing they could do to make this pizza look worse would be to put pineapple on it.
No, pineapple would be good. I don't remember where
it
was.
At least there'd be some moisture.
Yeah.
I suppose. So this, you know, just to give you an idea of what this actually looks like. So it's pizza crust with pepperonis on it.
That's it.
That's it. And it looks horrendous to me. I mean, I love pizza.
You wouldn't eat it?
No. Because
you would. Well, I got my sheet here that says you ate.
I take a bite of it. I'd take a bite of it, but I promise you, I would not enjoy it. Like, it's all dry because, you know, normally, you know, the sauce, I mean, it keeps things nice and moist on the pizza. Right. This is dry. Like, it looks really gross. It looks like it's just dry. Like, it's biting into dry bread with overcooked dried pepperoni. it's disgusting. Yeah,
pepperoni tends to just kind of shrivel up as it is, and it gets the little pockets of the oil in there, but this one didn't at all. But it says, last week on July 7th, the family's worst nightmare came to pass when a mother using the Domino's app for the first time unwittingly ordered a pizza monstrosity for the family. The app allows you to customize every detail, including topping options such as sauce and cheese. And those are both in quotes that are best left untouched. It's my deepest regret to inform you that the mother did not know this.
And down here it says, the mother's creation will haunt her for the rest of her life. And of course they took a picture of it, put it up on Twitter here.
I like DiGiorno's response to it. They said, delete the app and DM us. include things called cheese and sauce. So this is funny. They got a bunch of, looks like they got a bunch of coupons in the mail too.
Well, it's still like, but this is the thing. If I'm Domino's and I get this order, if I'm the local Domino's, like I know that my phone number is on the order somewhere, I'll probably call and be like, are you sure? This is how you really want the pizza? Just dough and pepperoni. I don't know. That's just the common sense in me. It's like I ordered pizza. Shockingly, we got pizza yesterday. And when I ordered, no.
Thursday is pizza night.
Yeah, but you know what? It all gets jacked up. We're doing the show. I don't have time to enjoy it on Thursday, so we did it. We've been doing it like other days. But last week we ordered from a different place, and I said I want half pepperoni, half cheese, and the guy goes, "Okay." He goes, "But you want cheese on the whole pizza, right?"
Yeah.
I said, "Yes, yeah."
It's half pepperoni and half just cheese. You got to specify that it's just cheese.
So I almost got this only with sauce on it. If I'm like, yes, I want cheese. I want pepperoni cheese sauce. And the other side, I want just cheese and sauce on the dough. Please don't mess this up. It'll break my heart. So
I want a cheese pizza with half pepperoni.
Somebody says people were left in awe of the innocent mother who must have accidentally deselected many important ingredients on her pizza, which I was thinking about this too. Kelly Hutchinson from Twitter said, the app adds cheese and sauce by default. You have to press 4 buttons to remove them. Seems trollish. LOL. Today we're driving, as I like to segue, today we're driving in the car. Colin's in there, and he goes, he looks at me. And the other day, he started texting, so kind of not to go back to the whole iPhone thing, but he has an iPad which has message on it, and he's learned how to text. So the whole family gets text messages you know, all day from Colin when he's on his iPad. And he, the other day, I said,
Facebook. That was funny, funny.
The other day, I said, LOL to him. And he goes, what's LOL? I said, that's when you find something funny, you're laughing out loud. So when you think that something's funny and you want to laugh, you put LOL. So today we're driving down the road and he sees something that's funny and he goes, hey, Daddy, lol. He goes, lol, you say lol when you're laughing. I'm like, well, you, okay. You sure do, buddy.
Too funny. Well, that reminds me of a story I was telling somebody earlier, you know, talking about kids and what they understand and what they don't understand. And what I... We talked about dreams before, but one of the dreams that I have vividly as a kid was go into my house and there was like a shoulder lane and then there was the right turn. Well, during heavy times, like after work, when people are trying to get home, people would drive on the shoulder to get into the neighborhood to get off the main road. And there was a sign on there that said, do not drive on shoulder. And I'm probably Colin's age, you know, younger and just not really sure exactly what a lot of things mean. And I have this dream of somebody, and I'm envisioning in my head in this dream of somebody falling out of the car, being held in only by the lap belt and basically being dragged on their shoulder. Do not drive on shoulder. That's what it meant to me. And I think I thought about this for a long time. And at one point I finally asked, what does that exactly mean? Oh, well, that's the shoulder. That's on the side. And, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense than, you know, I'm just envisioning somebody going, ow, 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 stop driving on the guy's. Like, don't you know he's being dragged outside of the car on his shoulder? Kids are funny.
Why are you letting that happen, Mom and Dad?
Yeah, just stop. It's got to hurt.
Don't drive on my shoulders, please.
Too funny.
Oh, that's funny. I just cracked open a Roke Devil Dog, by the way.
Oh. Is that what you had last? No, not last week. Two weeks ago.
Two weeks ago, I think I originally had them. And so I finished my Neapolitan Milk Stout, which was, again, just as good as the first drop that I drank.
So you'll go back? You'll get more? Next time when you go to Vermouth or wherever the place was?
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen Vermouth. Frankenmuth. No, this is the first time I've ever seen it, though. So I'll have to check and see if they have it locally somewhere because it's... Yeah. It's pretty good, but you know, moving on to the Devil Dog Oatmeal Stout. So I'm on my clock's ticking pretty quickly here because this stuff's pretty strong. So.
Yeah, I think I went back 2 weeks as well. I brought up a couple more Dirty Little Freaks, and this is the brown ale that I had that had the chocolate caramel and something else in it, coconut, I think.
Caramel,
yeah, I like it a lot. So that's what I bought. I bought another 6-pack of it today to put in the refrigerator, just like I said in the episode. I'm not a liar.
No, you're not. I never called you a liar.
All right, just saying.
Not seriously. Well, I've called you a liar. Just not seriously before, though.
Not seriously. Well, if anybody was confused about that pizza story, that wasn't our crazy news story of the day.
Our real crazy news story of the day brings us to Clearwater, Florida, which I've been there. It's an absolutely beautiful place. But sometimes the cops bust people for drug crimes and take their money. And usually... I would think the criminals would probably just call it a day and just take the loss. This particular guy in Clearwater, though, called the police 98 times in 6 hours to try to get his money back.
Yeah, so it says here, he hung up, then he called again, and then again and again, saying things like, y'all gave me my money back, and y'all expletive better give me my money. He refused to give his name or location. And in a matter of 6 hours, he allegedly rang 98 times.
So I can imagine it probably kind of progressed to, like, maybe the first time he was a little bit more polite about it.
I don't know. That's probably about as polite as it get. Y'all give me my money back, and y'all expletive better give me my money. That's probably about as polite as it was.
As luck should have it, we actually got some transcripts from some of the 911 calls that weren't released to the general media. So I think, Robert, I think this would probably be a pretty good opportunity for us to reenact some of this stuff.
I would love to. Let's dial them up.
All right, perfect.
Emergency.
Do you have my money? I seem to have misplaced it during a wrongful arrest situation.
Sorry, you had the wrong number.
Motherfucker. I'll call him again. Don't worry, I got this. I'll get my money back.
911 emergency.
Yeah, I'm from the Bureau of Drug Money Collection. You arrested a guy who was really cool and also innocent a couple weeks ago, and you seem to have his money. I'm going to need it back.
You've got the wrong number.
Son of a mother. Okay, this bitch. All right, here we go. I got this.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, motherfucker. You took my money from my drugs. I have a prescription for that cocaine. I'm going to need my money back so I can get it refilled.
You have the wrong number.
I'll give you the wrong number. Yeah. Fuckers gonna give me money.
Hello? 911 emergency.
Yeah, you guys have my money, and I was wondering if maybe instead of giving me my money back, you could just give it to me in cocaine.
Fuck.
Motherfucker, who is that guy? Son of a bitch.
911 emergency.
Listen, you got my cocaine. I'm going to need you to watch the moisture level. Remember, moisture causes pain to your cocaine.
You've got the wrong number.
Give me my money. Motherfucker. All right, I got this.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
Hello? Son of a bitch.
911 emergency.
All right, listen. Give me the money and cocaine. Let me sell it. We'll split it 50-50. What's Bray doing here? All right, I got this.
911 emergency.
All right, 60-40. Shit.
Hello. Emergency.
Do you all have a lost and found?
No.
I seem to have misplaced my drug money. I'm going to need it back.
You've got the wrong number.
Motherfucker.
Number 1 emergency.
How would I go about reclaiming personal property that may have been seized during a drug arrest, asking for a friend?
I don't know. You've got the wrong number.
Give my fucking money. I'm going to go Trump on these motherfuckers.
911 emergency.
I'm like Rihanna. Bitch better have my money. I thought that was going to work. We got two more.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Fuck off, Pee Wee Herman. Son of a bitch. I didn't know he worked for them.
Number 1 emergency.
Oh, hi, motherfucker. This is the IRS. You're being sued. I just need your credit card number to get my money back.
Wrong.
Fuck off, Trump.
Give
my money. Shit. I'll call him again. I got this.
911 emergency.
Hi, I was wondering if you had my fucking money and why you're not giving it back to me.
Yeah, that's right. It's me, motherfucker. I'm going Caliendo on you, motherfucking ass.
All right, please hold.
I can do all the races. Oh. Transfer me to accounting or something. Get my money back.
All right. So it's a matter. So it's a matter of 6 hours. He allegedly rang 98 times. They frequently tied up the line with this nonsense, which is not a good thing, said Rob Shaw, CPD public information officer. You never know. That one time he did call, there actually might have been having an emergency, and we would have to treat every call as an emergency unless we know otherwise. So
I don't know. I think that, like, if this guy calls after 98 times. Even, okay, we'll call it halfway through. After the 50th call, this guy calling, I would just say at that point, if it happens to be emergency, let him fry. I don't, he deserves it at that point, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so that's 16 times an hour. So let's see, 60 divided by 16.
Elderly listener isn't going to be happy how many times I said fuck during that call, too. During that skit.
Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck.
So, yeah. He goes 16 times an hour. So every 4 minutes he had to place this call. And I don't know if it doesn't say whether he got the same person or not, but it says he was referring to money that had to do with the January drug arrest, where police say he sold drugs to police officers. During the series of calls, he went so far as to call the chief's office, berating the person who picked up. Police were eventually able to locate and arrest him.
What's great is that Fox 13 wasn't able to get the call scripts that we had.
No. And if they did, they're probably under lock and key. But we were able to find them online, probably using our smartphone.
Two Bobs got clout.
We got clout.
They texted them to us.
That's true. We know people on the inside. And not Mott here, who has no other name but Mott, M-O-T-T.
We're kind of a big deal.
I think that's episode 28 in the books.
That'll do it. That'll do it. Don't forget to listen next week to our best of. We got some good shit over the last 28 episodes that we're going to share with you. Episode 29 should be twice as good then, because we'll have 2 weeks to think stuff up for our listeners.
Absolutely. So we'll see you on the flip side.
See you later.
Good night.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.